Welcome to the Web Talk Guys World Radio Show, and thank you for joining us and listening again today on this terrific holiday weekend. My name is Rob Greenlee, and this week's show is now available from WindowsMedia.com mobile portal page, and that's available on the WindowsMedia.com site, and it makes content available to your pocket PC if that pocket PC has a wireless internet connection. And you can also go to WebTalkGuys.com and take the show on the road with you if you have an MP3 player or a pocket PC that you can download a small 6-megabyte file and take it with you anywhere.
That's right, Rob. We're all about the road trips. Well, I'm your sidekick sitting over here. I'm Webgirl Dana, and we strive to bring you the latest on what's going on the internet and the web, the two separate pinnacles of this great new medium that we have. Rob's email address is at robg@webtalkguys.com, and you can email me if you want at dana@webtalkguys.com, because we do want to hear from you, and we get our best comments from those that write into us, and we appreciate that, and we actually want to have more of your voice on the air. So anything you're thinking about, comments you have about what we talk about, or questions, I don't know if we can answer it, but we'll try. Even send us an audio commentary if you have access to, you know, you have a microphone, your PC, and you want to gab a little bit, and it's, you know, worthwhile, we'll just stick it in during our news broadcast. This is your show. We need your voice.
Yeah, all I have to do is make an MP3 file and just email it to us and get it up there. This week, we're going to bring you some discussion about trapping and getting data on how hackers, crackers, and black hats do their dirty work on all of our networks and computers. And we also speak with a guy who's got a website that spoils the plots of all the biggest movies that are out this summer. And we are going to also talk about how some of the biggest net names are trying to match Apple's iTunes program to get to those downloadable music files. And we're also going to talk about smart network dust, of all things. And the House panel okays an internet tax moratorium, which means that internet tax looks like it's going to be on hold again. We're going to talk about that. And I wrongly accused her company of spamming, writes a listener in our digital mailbag.
Well, that should be interesting. Rob's going to eat crow.
Yes.
We also have a mobile text edition of our website. We write articles, and this is a way to get those articles and take it again with you wherever you go on your pocket PC. Read it from your bed, maybe, with your little pocket PC. And you just sync it up to your mobile device through Mazingo.net. Mazingo, M-A-Z-I-N-G-O. They have audio and video, and they have text, and we're on the text.
And the text portion of it's free, so there's no charge for that, but the multimedia has a little monthly charge.
And if you forget all this stuff, just go to the top of our website, webtalkguys.com, and you'll see a link right at the top.
We are all very aware of destructive hackers that are out on the net, and I've always wondered who was tracking their activities, and I think I've found out who's doing it, and it's the HoneyNet Project, and it's an organization that builds online traps to catch and research how hackers, crackers, and black hats do their dirty work on the net. This project is key to understanding how and why hackers do what they do and is really helping governmental homeland security and corporations and home network security as well to make better software that resists hacking. And we're going to speak with Sun Microsystems senior security architect Lance Spitzner.
Because of these honey nets, we see what these guys do afterwards so we can monitor the motives. There's a misconception that people think that a lot of these attackers are misguided youths out exploring the internet. The reality is the vast majority of these individuals are criminal intent. In other words, they're out to make money. We see a lot of times people hacking into systems and scanning for stolen credit cards, or they're launching attacks against other organizations and potentially getting paid for it, or they're dealing in stolen music. Videos, licensed software, such things called Whereas. So people scanning or scouring the internet for email addresses to build databases of stolen email addresses to sell to spammers, stolen PayPal accounts, stolen eBay accounts. There's just a tremendous amount of criminal activity going on.
Dan Kaiser from the website themoviespoiler.com is also our guest today. This site's an online resource to read the entire plot of first-run movies that are out there. He even has a complete spoiler for the mega hit Matrix Reloaded. But be warned, these pages give you the whole plot of the new movie.
The Matrix, talk about people who don't understand the movies that want it spoiled for them. That spoiler was submitted by one of my readers, and because I'll be honest, I wouldn't have attempted that one. It's so complicated, and I've read that spoiler 10 or 20 times, and I still don't get it. People will keep writing in, sending in some other submissions with little additions to it or what was wrong with it. It's a kind of a work in progress, that Matrix spoiler.
We've picked up some tidbits this week from around the net, and in the spirit of sharing, here they are.
Some of the biggest online companies out there are scrambling to match the Apple's iTunes program out there, and what this is a music download service that Apple has launched called iTunes, and it's basically making singles or individual music files available for 99 cents apiece.
You probably know about them if you've seen any TV lately, because they're wonderful commercials are all over the TV. You know, they usually have one single person standing there and singing along as they're plugged into their iPod. The cool thing about this is that, of course, it's a legal way to download music. I mean, it's all A-OK, and you're above board. You don't have to do the whole Kazaa thing, which, by the way, 230 million people have downloaded Kazaa. That's just a record for a free download program. But back to iTunes.
Actually, the iTunes program works with all five of the major labels, but it is kind of a unique program because it is really unique to the Apple platform. What we're also seeing is a lot of these major players like Amazon are actively trying to put together a downloadable program, and actually Amazon is working with a local company up here in the Seattle area called Loudi to figure this out, because Loudi has the biggest digital archive of music available. So they're a prime potential competitor to the iTunes program. And then Microsoft Network is working on a per-song download service as well, and the AOL folks at MusicNet is basically putting together a digital singles offering that will come out later this summer.
I don't think we'll be having a shortage of ways to get music.
One of the big challenges to this really involves the Microsoft area or Windows, because there's a different copyright standard that's being applied to the Windows platform, and there still is some restrictions on the popular MP3 format, so there's some hurdles still yet to be jumped on this whole matter.
Rob, you really intrigued me when you said at the top of the show something about smart dust, and I don't know, I'm just thinking, I'm getting a little creeped out here, so why don't you just like ease my mind and tell me what you're talking about?
Well, basically what this is some researchers that have been working hard to come up with these micro-sized processing computing chips, and that's essentially what we're talking about here, is little microscopic size computers, basically.
Microscopic size? I mean,
yes.
Speck of dust size.
Speck of dust type things, because they can be used for gathering information about military activities. They're so small, so they're almost invisible, is what it really engages here. And these little specks of dust have computing power. They've got a CPU with what's called a tiny OS.
No way.
Yeah. And they have the capacity of about 3K of RAM, and they have an onboard radio transmitter. So they're going to be able to communicate within 30 feet, and I think over time they're going to have a much longer range. So what they can do is just scatter this dust out over, let's say, a battlefield, whatever, they can drop it from an airplane or something like that, and these little dust particles will analyze the battlefield and basically report back to a central computer system that has a radio antenna that can track the movement of tanks and troops. And actually, there's a lot of other things this thing
can do.
Biological weapons detection and all those type of things. So it's kind of a fascinating thing. It actually reminds me of when we talked about on the show a while, I think it was probably a year ago, about servers embedded in flies. So
yeah.
it's one of those.
The smaller, the cooler.
That's exactly right.
But I don't know how I'm going to like be able to keyboard in some information. I mean, this is not going to happen.
Well, one last little kind of fun thing about this is that they've been using solar cells, or that's what they've been experimenting with on these dust particles, but I guess there's not enough power. So what they're looking at doing is using nuclear power within these little dust specks to be able to power them. So that's a whole other element of amazement that they can nuclear power a speck of dust.
Another kind of cool thing, that is, if you're into the e-commerce or you buy things online, and that is, you know, the whole idea of internet taxes keep getting proposed, and then there's a moratorium, and they won't do it, and it keeps getting extended. Well, it's been extended again, or at least it's in the process.
Well, it's in the process,
yeah.
And there's a lot of states that are desperate to get their hands on the sales taxes
yeah.
from online spending. I know the state of California is trying to get everybody to pay taxes on any product that's purchased on the internet from California. So there's a lot of pressure from the states to have sales tax. But what's happening is that the federal government is jumping in and saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We don't want to jump ahead and have all these states run in and apply sales tax, because it's just going to create chaos in the marketplace, and it's going to be a hindrance to the development and growth of e-commerce over the internet, which the government doesn't want to do right now. They want to fuel as much economic activity as they can. And so there's been an extension on the moratorium on new taxes that's been passed by
a subcommittee of
the House. And there's also in the Senate, there's been some bills filed to extend it actually indefinitely, is what the proposal is being proposed right now. But I think realistically there is going to be an end to this. So it's moving really aggressively in the Senate and in the House. And the Bush administration has even signaled their support for the proposals that are coming down from both of the House and Senate.
The moratorium, the proposals on the moratorium to keep us free of taxes. That's where it's going. So that's the good news.
At this point, because what would happen is there'd be a patchwork of roughly 7,500 taxing jurisdictions all across the country that would make taxation in this area is so complex and burdensome to e-commerce companies that it may push people out of business, essentially, just to be able to keep up with it.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to mention a technology conference that's happening here in the Seattle-Tacoma area. And it's where we broadcast from originally, and we're heard on the radio in this particular market. So I wanted to mention it's a South Sound Technology Conference on Friday, May 28th. This year's event is focusing on mobility and convergence and life beyond the wire. So this is a conference that's right here in the Tacoma area, which is where we're located, and it focuses on the wireless and mobile trends that are happening out there. And the keynotes that are going to be there are Howard Schmidt, the former special advisor to the president in cybersecurity, and we've had Howard on the show before, and now he's a vice president of security at eBay. So he's right up there in what's going on.
That's right, because he was a security guy at Microsoft before.
This position at eBay is a pretty important position, because eBay's got one of the biggest challenges when it comes to security and fraud and things. So
Howard's back in the private sector after serving at the pleasure of Bush.
And also at this conference, too, is Howard Rheingold, who's a visionary and author of Smart Mobs, The Next Social Revolution. And he's also been on our show as well. So there's definitely a connection with this conference.
Now, is there any relationship to the fact that you're on the committee for this conference? You got the people that were on our show. There's really no relationship there. It just happens to be.
It just happens to be
they're
that
on
way.
Our show, and then they're at the conference.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the governor from the state of Washington is going to be at this event, and the master of ceremonies for the event is Frank Catalano, who's a regular contributor on the show also. So,
and Rob, you'll be there. Yeah. So just look for the tall guy. He's 6'8". You can't miss him. Very tall, basketball-looking kind of guy.
And that's on Friday, May 28th at the Tacoma Sheraton, and it's at sstconference.com.
Yeah. Well, I'm digging into the digital mailbag right now. Can you hear the papers?
Dig deep.
Yeah. This is actually printed out email. So. A listener named Mark Young wrote us. Mark works at a web development company, virtualdesignhouse.com. But he read Rob's article. Rob wrote an article that's up on our front page of our website, web.guys.com, about spam. It's called The Avalanche of Spam, Email Being So One Way.
And
Rob,
it is.
Why don't you read his email? What did he say to you?
Well, his email said, I was able to nearly put an end to the daily task of shuffling through spam by installing SpamPal. And he's actually recommending a spam filter program, and it's at spampal.org. And it's pretty cool. It sits between your email program and your server, and every time a message comes in, it compares it to any number of published spam lists, and that includes SpamCop, and there's a few others out there. And if it's part of that database, it tags it, and at that point, you can rule it off to a folder or just delete it. So he's recommending a spam filter, and your site's at virtualdesignhouse.com, and we appreciate the email.
Oh, now my favorite part, the part where Rob eats crow.
No!
Well, you know, in that same aforementioned article that he wrote about spam, he had just copied and pasted several subject lines that he had gotten in his email, and he'd put them in the article. One of the people that works for the company that was represented in one of these what he called spam wrote him. Rob, fill us in.
Michelle Miller of buydomains.com wrote us in, and she said, I recently came across your article, Avalanche of Spam, Email Becoming So One Way. And she said, before you accuse our company of sending out spam, I strongly suggest that you check out your own personal opt-in subscriptions. Your email is among the 68,000-plus 100% opt-in-only customer emails that are in our private mailing list, a mailing list that pertains to and is accessible only to our customers. All the content is related to our services and domain news updates. Furthermore, there are absolutely no outside advertisements or content related to our products and our service, and no email is added without requesting to be added, and all entries and removals are monitored. We don't appreciate your false accusations, and especially when they are associated with something as negative as spam. And I totally agree, and I wrote her back, and I basically apologized for including them. It was totally an accident. You know, most of the references that I made to subject lines within my article were actually spam, and I think I just mistakenly included theirs because I had probably opted in for their emails in the past when I was looking at domain names or something like that. So I apologize, Anne, and she was right
wrong
in writing me, and I was wrong. And so I basically pulled the reference to her company's name in the article. I pulled it out of the article. So
that's
we fixed it.
That's very magnanimous of you, Rob. Hey, before we go to the break, I just want to say thank you to a couple friends of the show. A support for Web Talk Guys every week is provided by Compass Communications. They're a network and server co-location provider in Seattle. Also, a whole list of new sponsors that have recently become our buddies are listed on the bottom of every page of WebTalkGuys.com website. A couple of those, for instance, is TheVineStore.com and Active-Backpacks.com. So go check out some of those and click on a few for us, okay?
Yeah, support our sponsors because that's what helps bring you the show every week. PayByCheck.com also provides support on the show, and they offer an easy way to accept online payment via a checking account. And we would really appreciate if you could give them a call, and if you have a need for adding check transactions to your website, they'd be a terrific alternative. That's PayByCheck.com.
Be sure and stay connected, because right after the break, we'll be speaking with Lance Spitzner about how to track and then trap those hackers. This is Web Talk Guys Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Guys Radio. I have a tip for you that will cut your inbox spam down to zero, guaranteed. The solution is a very powerful software plugin called MailWiper, and it cleaned my inbox of all my hundreds of unwanted emails and continues to do so every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. MailWiper currently works with Outlook and Outlook Express for Microsoft and supports multiple email accounts. Definitely stop deleting emails. Do your part to fight spam. MailWiper can be downloaded and installed in seconds and set up within a half an hour. There is no monthly fee or annual fees ever. Get your life back. I did. Go to MailWiper.com now and save over 40% off the regular $49.95 price. Get MailWiper now for $29.95 by visiting MailWiper.com. MailWiper comes with a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee and free technical support. Remember, save 40% now off of the regular $49.95 price by going to MailWiper.com right now.
Oh!
You're back with the Web Talk Guys World Radio Show, and thank you for listening. My name is Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Web Girl Dana.
We are all aware of very destructive hackers that are out on the net, and I think I've found an organization that's going after hackers out there and finding out what they're doing and setting traps to catch hackers. To speak about that is a guest that we have on today, and his name is Lance Spitzner, and he's a senior security architect for Sun Microsystems. And he's recently published a cover page article in the March and April issue of IEEE, Security and Privacy Magazine. And he's written the article about the HoneyNet project, and it's a project that traps hackers. Lance has also written a new book called Honeypots, Tracking Hackers. You can go check out his website for HoneyNet's project at honeynet.org. Lance, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Hey, what really is a honey net, and what is this project that you're talking about, and how does it work kind of at a higher level view, and we'll drill down to all the little details here.
Oh, boy. Start off with a hard one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first of all, a honey net is nothing more than one type of honey pot, and a honey pot is a security tool that we use to learn about the bad guys. Basically, a honey pot is a computer that has no value, so nobody should be talking to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when anybody is talking to it, it's most likely unauthorized activity.
So it's not serving any websites, it's not doing anything particular, it's just a computer that's connected to the internet that has some open ports?
It can have a web server, it can have a mail server, a database, it can have all sorts of things. So just nobody should be talking to it.
Oh, okay.
So if they are, then it's most likely somebody being naughty.
Let's also clarify what a bad guy is. And I know there's two terms out there. There's a hacker and a cracker. Why don't you clarify that for everybody so everybody understands the baseline of who the bad guys are?
Okay. Personally, I don't like getting caught up in this terminology, hacker, cracker, and stuff like that. For me, I would prefer the term black hat. A black hat is anybody who's being malicious or unauthorized. That can be an insider, that can be an employee, that can be a kid in fourth grade, that can be an ex-KGB agent. But to me, I would use the term black hat and anybody who's doing some unauthorized activity.
Okay, so there really isn't a distinction between the two?
Well, with hacker and cracker?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, quite often people get caught up in what a hacker is and what a cracker is. Some people think a hacker is the bad guy. Some people think a hacker is a good guy because all he's doing is tinkering, where the cracker is the bad guy because he's trying to break into systems. Personally, I prefer not to get caught up in this big argument and rather just focus on security.
You bet. Well, now, what is really involved in your project itself? When you're putting together a honey pot or a honey net, what is involved in putting that project together?
Okay, this organization called the Honey Net Project is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization. So it's made up of individuals around the world who volunteer their own time to learn about the bad guys and then share everything we learn, to learn about the black hats. How we do this is we deploy networks around the world to be broken into, and when they're broken into, we watch and learn everything the bad guys are doing. These networks, we call them honey nets. Remember, a honey net is nothing more than one type of honey pot, but the difference is it's an entire network of computers to be broken into.
Okay. What do you guys set up, a series of different types of operating system platforms that are all put onto one network and then monitor those? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, actually, that's a very good, a very good but simple description. It's actually much harder than it sounds because you have to actually capture everything the bad guys are doing without them knowing it. You have to control them to make sure that they can't hurt anybody else without them knowing it.
Okay.
So that's a good description.
Well, Lance, let's talk about bait. I mean, why would does a hacker come to one of these sites just because, or one of these computers just because he can, or is there something on there that he'd want? Do you care about that?
That's actually one of the most amazing things. If you just put a computer out there that has no perceived value, it will probably get scanned 10 to 20 times a day.
Really?
And this is any system. I'm not talking about corporations, small businesses. If any of your listeners have a connection at home, a home connection, DSL, cable, ISD, and they have a dedicated connection, they are most likely getting scanned 10 to 20 times a day also, just as our systems are.
Mm-hmm.
The bad guys are being very active because it's very simple to hack. You just download a tool and run the tool.
Why are they doing this, though? I mean, don't these people have jobs? Don't they have lives themselves, or do they just sit around?
Well, it's very interesting, and it's one of the things we've learned because of these honey nets. We see what these guys do afterwards so we can monitor the motives. There's a misconception that people think that a lot of these attackers are misguided youths out exploring the Internet.
Yeah.
The reality is the vast majority of these individuals are criminal intent. In other words, they're out to make money. We see a lot of times people hacking into systems and scanning for stolen credit cards, or they're launching attacks against other organizations and potentially getting paid for it, or they're dealing in stolen music, videos, licensed software, such things called Whereas. So people scanning or scouring the Internet for email addresses to build databases of stolen email addresses to sell to spammers, stolen PayPal accounts, stolen eBay accounts. There's just a tremendous amount of criminal activity going on.
Okay, so it's really a malicious type of an environment.
Extremely hostile.
Mm-hmm. How many people out there do you think are actually doing this?
Ooh, that's very, very hard to determine. I couldn't tell you what the number of individuals are, but I can tell you one thing. Whoever it is, they are being very active. And when I say, for example, if any of your listeners just put a system on the internet being scanned 10 to 20 times a day, that's being conservative. My systems I see get scanned 40 to 50 times a day.
Now, is there any correlation between how visible your server is, let's say a web server that has a popular website on that server? Is that system going to be more vulnerable because it's more out there than just a system that just sits in the background and doesn't do anything to reach out and make content available out there?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the more perceived value or the more attractive your target is, the more likely that bad guys are going to target it. But also keep in mind, a large percentage of the bad guys really don't care what systems they break into. They simply download an automated tool that will literally scan 16 million computers in a night. And if any one of those 16 million computers is vulnerable, the program will break into them.
Wow. So now your system that, you know, these honey nets, you guys have gone through four phases in your development of these honey nets over the last 3 years or something like that?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Could you run through some of those phases and how you guys have kind of evolved these nets into what you are today?
Sure. It's not that advanced or structured, but it gives you kind of an idea of where we've gone and where we go. Currently, what we are right now is we're in phase three. Like you mentioned four phases.
Yeah.
We're currently in phase three. Now, what phase one was, the purpose of phase one was what we call our first generation honey nets. We put these systems out there for us to learn about. Phase two, which is pretty much more or less we're starting to finish up now, phase two is to develop a honey net that's easier to deploy, harder to detect, and more efficient collecting data. We call these our Gen 2 systems. So the whole purpose is, okay, we've got these technology. Let's make it much better. Phase three is what we're kind of in now, is where we're taking all this stuff and we're putting it on a single bootable CD-ROM. So to deploy 100 honey nets, you just deploy a couple hundred bootable CD-ROMs. They all boot up. They're all logged into a central location. So now you're starting to collect information distributed around the internet from a very easy to format. And finally, phase four, which is in the future, is we're developing all these technologies to correlate, analyze all this data.
So at this point, how many of these nets do you guys have out there on the internet basically attracting this?
We're collecting this information probably right now about between 5 and 10.
Oh, okay. And those have been operating for a couple of years now? Or
it depends. Some are relatively new and only operating for a couple months. Some have been online for over a year.
Now, how do you guys use the information that comes out of this? Now, after reading your materials, I know you guys are capturing a lot of information about these attacks. How's that information being used?
That's a good point. Information has different value to different people. For example, for us within the security community, we might be interested in discovering a new attack or a new tool somebody's using. However, when we're starting to see automated credit card fraud, maybe the credit card companies are interested in how the bad guys are capturing, stealing, and dealing and stolen credit cards. Maybe the military is interested if we actually see any state-sponsored or military-organized attacks or something like that. So we collect a lot of different information, and that has different value to different people. But all of that information can be found on our website, because everything we learn, we share with the public.
Okay. Well, now, what are some of the most hacked operating systems out there? I know everybody's heard about Windows, but is Windows really the most hacked operating system on the internet?
No, everybody's a potential victim. Windows tends to be very popular just because if a bad guy's going to develop an exploit, he gets the biggest bang for the buck for Windows.
Yeah.
We also tend to see a lot of focus on Linux just because Linux is a free operating system. So more economically depressed countries, it's easier for the bad guys to get access to this OS, understand this OS, and attack the OS. Mm-hmm. For example, countries like Romania and Eastern Europe, very economically depressed. So we tend to see a lot of hacking activity coming out of those countries.
Okay. Yeah, because certainly as far as the numbers of computers that are connected to the internet, most of them are Unix and Linux, aren't they, as far as the overall number?
No, I would actually disagree. I would say the growing majority is more on the Windows side, as more and more home users are connecting via broadband.
Well, that's true, and that's a fairly recent phenomenon, though.
Exactly, and the very scary thing is that's why it's actually becoming easier for hackers, because people have this misconception that bad guys only target businesses or companies, but they don't realize anybody, any system with an IP stack is a target. So you have these millions of home users coming online who have no conception of security, who don't believe they're a target. This becomes a very target-rich environment for the bad guys.
Well, let's talk about that. If they're going after a home user, what can they really get? I mean, I think about my own system, and I don't store my credit card information in my computer anywhere or any financial information.
Okay, for example, let's say you don't store any financial information, and let's say 99% of the community, of the internet users, don't store any financial information on their computer, and only 1% does.
Yeah.
Now, we know that's not true. I'm sure a far greater percentage, but let's say only 1% does. Well, all a single bad guy has to do is scan a million homeowners, and if only 1% are vulnerable and store their financial information on them, he's still hacked into 10,000 systems and got all their financial information.
Yeah, that's true.
So the bad guys aren't they're not highly skilled, the majority. This is a generalization. The majority of the bad guys aren't skilled. They're just persistent. So they use these highly automated tools to do all their work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I like to say, and I've learned, is it's not so much black hats or attackers that break into systems. It's these automated tools they download from the internet that do all the hacking and breaking in for them.
So these are tools that are readily available out there on the internet?
Oh, most definitely. And what's surprising is the vast majority of tools and vast majority of break-ins you see nowadays are based on known exploits. In other words, people, the community knew this vulnerability existed. It's just the system wasn't patched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a great example of that is the SQL Slammer worm that came out a couple months ago. That worm was based on a vulnerability that had been known for 6 months, and yet it was able to hack what I believe up to almost 100,000, if not more, systems.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your guys' future plans with these nets that you guys have established out there to catch these bad guys. What are you guys planning for those in the future? Is there an evolution that you're seeing that's beyond even your stage four, your phase four?
Most definitely. Right now, most of these networks, these honey nets we deploy, are what we consider systems of low value. They're quite similar to maybe perceived value of a very small business or homeowner. We just put these systems out there. So what we tend to do is just attract a certain clientele, individuals who will just hack hundreds if not thousands of systems. We're interested in the very small percentage of black hats out there, this like 5% of the hacking community, who are very advanced, who target specific systems of high value and are extremely skilled.
Mm-hmm.
To capture that type of activity, we have to deploy honey nets that are of high perceived value. An e-commerce site, a top-secret military computer, a government database, a hospital patient record system, things along those lines. So that's where we're going in the future, honey nets that have extremely high perceived value so we can capture the more advanced activity.
How can you actually do that and have a system like this? I mean, it's got to be part of one of those
actually,
security networks, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. So what you would do is if you wanted a honey net to look like a military organization, you would actually put it on a military organization. If you want an e-commerce site, you create an e-commerce site. There's a lot of advanced techniques we're starting to develop in that area. For example, if we see a real attack going against a real e-commerce site, we'll actually redirect that attack to a honey net system. Then the bad guys don't realize they're actually interacting with our our fake system. They think they're breaking into a real e-commerce site, but they're actually into the honey net. And we're now capturing everything they do, who they are, what they're looking for, things along those lines.
So are you guys working with the folks at Homeland Security?
We'll work with any government or military organization. Well, actually, we'll work with any organization, a university, stuff mm-hmm. like that, share everything we know. But it's not like we have any secret relationships with anyone.
Well, let's talk about your relationships and your partners. Now, you have a network of people, of course, helping with this. Like you mentioned, volunteers. Who's involved in that?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, if you go to the website, you can see all the individuals' names and organizations. Just it's a real mixed spectrum of individuals out there trying to help. For example, we have an individual who's got a PhD from Stanford in social psychology. They help us analyze these individuals. We have a lot of technically skilled individuals, kernel hackers, web applications, systems, Windows, Linux, Solaris, you name it. We also have all different types of organizations covered. For example, we have a lot of universities. We have security organizations. one of our lead coders is actually a captain in the Marine Corps. So real different spread of individuals from all sorts of countries, Greece, India, Israel, Canada, Australia, U.S.
Wow. And Lance, you just came back actually from a conference on security in Amsterdam. What was that conference and you presented there? What kind of things did you hear while you were there?
The conference was Black Hat in Amsterdam, which attends, it's an annual conference and it's very technical. Actually, I presented on both honeypots and honey nets. And one of the interesting things is honeypots have real global appeal because we're tending to face the same threats around the world. So by using this technology and deploying it around the world, there's a lot of information that can be learned and shared. So that was a lot of fun when I was out there because I got to meet a lot of people very interested in this technology.
Do you have any, I guess, undercover Black Hat types that are there trying to pick up on what you're doing to catch them?
I don't know of any, but I'm absolutely sure they were there.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would think that that's a big issue here. You certainly don't want to discuss where your next deployment is.
No, we explain the technologies, but we actually don't. I mean, obviously, we're not going to give away the identities or locations of these systems.
Yeah. Well, now, how would a person get involved in the research? You know, let's say they have a network that's part of a university or something like that, and maybe they wanted to set up one of these systems. How would they go about doing that, or is that even an option?
Oh, definitely. There's actually a couple ways to get involved. The best way is what we call the Alliance. And you can just go to honeynet.org/alliance. And the whole purpose there is for organizations such as universities who want to go ahead and join us and work together. For example, recently the University of Texas in Austin formed their own HoneyNet group. And what they do is a lot of quality assurance. They do a lot of testing of our technologies, and they help us a lot. We tend actually to find universities to be some of the best organizations to work with because we can work with graduate students and undergrads, stuff like that.
Well, plus I would think that over time that would be a benefit to the whole system because those are where the programmers are coming out of, and maybe over time we can develop better software to counteract hacking.
It's a real win-win situation.
Yeah,
Lance, you are on the cover. Your article and your information on this is on the cover of the latest issue of IEEE Security and Privacy Magazine. What kind of response have you had from that cover story?
Oh, it's been outstanding. A lot of people have been very interested in what we're doing. They either want to learn more or help and get involved. And what we try to do is, for people that want to learn more, we put absolutely everything on our website, from how we learn it, what we've learned, or how people can learn on their own.
That's good. Perfect. Now, your background is interesting, and why don't you share where you're working now and how you sort of came to being so passionate about security and privacy?
Sure. Well, right now I work for Sun Microsystems. I'm a senior security architect, and what's really neat about that job is I go all over the world. So I get to see a real global perspective of how organizations are trying to protect themselves. For example, I just came back from a trip from Bangkok, India, and Singapore. Mm. How I got here is I actually started in the military, served 7 years. 4 of it was in the Rapid Deployment Force. And when I transitioned out of the military and into information security, I noticed within the world of information security, we really had a lack of intelligence or information on who the enemy was, who the bad guy was. Mm-hmm. This contrasts to what I learned in the military. As an officer, we were constantly briefed on who the threat was, their technologies they used, their command and control, the motivations, their communications. So we had a really good understanding of who the threat was and how they operated. In the InfoSec world, we really didn't have that. So that was the whole motivation behind the HoneyNet project and honeypots in general, is to identify who this threat is and how they operate so we can better defend against them.
Do you ever think that we're going to get to a point with software on the Internet that's not hackable? I mean, are we going to be able to get to a point where we can exclude any kind of vulnerability?
Absolutely not, simply because that which is coded and developed
by
man or woman can actually be hacked by man or woman. We'll get better. One of the problems in the past is on most default installations of operating systems or applications has been very insecure by default. Windows 2000 is probably one of the best examples. By default, it did absolutely everything. So the bad guys had all sorts of different ways to enter into or break into the system. Future versions of the operating system are supposed to be more secure because by default it does nothing and then you only enable what you need. So what we're going to see is a definite improvement with operating systems and applications, but there'll never be a point in time where they're totally secure.
So is there a core reason why the software was developed so open at the very beginning and why it wasn't closed up at the beginning?
Very simple business. If you create an operating system that's very secure and locked down, it can be very difficult to use. In other words, an individual says, I want my computer to be a database.
Sure.
Well, if the computer is doing absolutely everything, they don't have to do anything for it to be a database or a mail server or a web server or an FTP server. However, if it's highly secured, then what happens is the individual's got to go in there, figure out how it works, how to enable it. So there's more work involved in security. The reason you're seeing more secure systems coming out by default now is, once again, business. Yeah. Organizations were now starting to develop a bad reputation about security and started to lose money because their operating systems were insecure.
It certainly seems like the tables have turned now, but I guess my core question is whether or not the software development companies are going to still be able to make the software easy enough to set up where people aren't going to get frustrated and upset.
Well, it's probably going to end up being a differentiator. In other words, if you as a customer have software package A to buy or software package B to buy, and if they do everything the same and the price is the same, but software A is more secure, then
that's true.
That's the beauty of capitalism.
So it's a marketing opportunity, right?
Most definitely.
Well, terrific. Well, Lance, it was great having you on the show.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
It was great speaking with you about your projects here, and we appreciate it.
Well, if there's anything we can do to help, let us know.
Okay. Thank you very much. We've been speaking with Lance Spitzner, who's a senior security architect for Sun Microsystems, and he's been talking about the HoneyNet project and has written an article in IEEE Security and Privacy magazine, and that's at computer.org/security. Lance has also written a new book called Honeypots, Tracking Hackers, and you can also read about his HoneyNet project at honeynet.org.
Now stay connected. In a moment, we'll be hearing from the founder of the moviespoiler.com website. His name is Dan Kaiser. He's here to tell us about how you can find out the plot of all those first-run movies. This is Web Talk Guys Radio. Hi, this is Web Girl Dana of Web Talk Guys Radio. Now, I have a tip for you out there if you get a lot of spam in your inbox, and I can tell you how to get it down to zero, guaranteed. So my solution is the very powerful software plugin called Mail Wiper, and it cleaned my inbox of all of those hundreds of unwanted emails that I get every day, and it does it 24/7. Mail Wiper currently works with Outlook and Outlook Express from Microsoft, and it supports multiple email accounts. So just stop hitting the delete button. Do your part to fight spam. Mail Wiper can be downloaded and installed in just a few seconds and set up within a half an hour. There are no monthly or annual fees either, and you can get your life back. I know I did, and I'm very happy, and so is my husband. So go to mailwiper.com right now, and you can save over 40% off the regular $49.95 price, because you can get Mail Wiper now for $29.95, and you can go to mailwiper.com and get it right there. Mail Wiper comes with a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee, and you know what? It has free technical support. That's amazing. So save over 40% off the $49.95 price and get Mail Wiper now for $29.95 at mailwiper.com.
You're back with the Web Talk Guys radio show, and my name is Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Web Girl Dana. Well, if you're into the web as much as I am, well, you probably are finding it harder and harder to break away and actually get out into the real world and go see a real movie. I mean, there's so many movies, so little time in my world. But my curiosity keeps me plugged in because I know what's going on at the theater, and I actually watch the movie previews at windowsmedia.com. Sometimes I just have to admit I'm not actually going to go out and see that movie, or at least the full movie. So that's why I like movie spoilers. They're very popular. And really, there's no place like the internet to find spoilers galore at the click of a mouse.
Yes, and we have a place for you to go. It's at themoviespoiler.com. And if you maybe just didn't pick up the full plot even when you went to the movie, this is a great place to go to get those little tidbits of information that maybe you missed when you watched the movie. Joining the Web Talk guys today is the founder of themoviespoiler.com. His name is Dan Kaiser. And he is a movie fan and has spent many years in the movie business, running theaters. He has this site that readers actually send in condensed stories, or basically plot outlines of the various movies that he makes available off his website. Dan, thanks for coming on the show with us again.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back on after a couple of years. Hey, what are some of the reasons that a person would want to go to your site and get a movie spoil?
On my site, a lot of people have already seen the movie, strangely.
Yeah.
And they just don't understand it or something. They want to come to my site because I give a full summary of the entire film. And I think most people that come to my site are there to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important distinction because whereas some just give sort of the main nut of the ending, you know, you actually go into depth with the plot quite often, right?
Right, right. That's, in fact, people submit their spoilers. Some are just one-liners, and I forward those over to the movie pooper because that's his specialty. Mine is the full summary.
Well, let's talk about why a person really would go to get a movie spoiler, because it seems like most people wouldn't want to do that because then it would spoil the movie for them. I mean, that's kind of the whole point. Are you finding or do you think that most of the time it's because somebody just misunderstands the plot line and they just want to get it clarified?
I think that's the main reason. You know, there's the other reasons are some people will, they don't have any intention of seeing that movie to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're hanging out with their friends who've already seen it, they just need to know the whole story so they can just be involved in the conversation. You know, people are talking about a movie at work, and they may want to just be involved in those water cooler talks.
Well, I want to give everybody listening kind of an idea that haven't been to themoviespoiler.com, and don't forget to type the at the beginning, right?
That's right.
Some of the things that you have up on your site, and so I thought we'd give you a pop quiz, Dan.
Okay.
I'll read a line from a recent spoiler, and I want you to give me the name of that movie, but I will not give away, everybody listening, I will not give away a crucial thing. But this just gives you an idea of what's there at a site. The movie starts as a psychiatrist is reviewing files of a convicted murderer who's about to go on death row in less than 48 hours. The scene cuts to a judge being wakened by a phone call. It turns out the judge is being called to a late night meeting where a diary of the convicted murderer has been discovered. Dan, what is that movie?
That would be Identity.
Very good.
Ooh, he's quick.
Let me try one more.
Okay.
Because this one, I think, was very interesting. The movie opens with a camera weaving in, the zooming in and out to the face of a clock. The image morphs into a real clock just as it strikes midnight. At that moment, a motorcycle comes flying through the air. The rider leaps off at the last minute and lands safely while the bike explodes in a huge fireball. Dan, what's that movie?
That is my number one spoiler right now. That's The Matrix.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, that's a great lead-in. How is The Matrix spoiler doing?
Well, that gets probably 95% of the hits my site are from The Matrix.
And we wanted to clarify, this is Matrix Reloaded, not
the first
one. Yeah.
Although I'm sure the first one had a great run on the movie spoiler site.
You know, actually, that one's not even on it.
Oh.
It's not.
That came out before.
That's true.
Before you started.
Before I started, yeah.
It was a long time ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, what kind of numbers are you seeing, or do you keep track of that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's about 7,000 or 8,000 hits a day.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And The Matrix, that is, you talk about people who don't understand the movies that want it spoiled for them.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's a complicated story. I'm sure that there's a lot of people going there just for the reason we talked about. That
right.
It's hard to understand.
That spoiler was submitted by one of my readers, because I'll be honest, I wouldn't have attempted that one. It is so complicated. And I've read that spoiler 10 or 20 times, and I still don't get it. People will keep writing in, sending in some other submissions with little additions to it or what was wrong with it. It's a kind of a work in progress, that Matrix spoiler.
Oh, that's interesting. So a reader submitted it, but it's really become a hybrid of several people with clarifications and such.
Right. One reader did the main. It's probably about 4,000 words.
It's long.
It's a long one, yeah. And then little bits and pieces are submitted by other readers.
Do you see that Matrix page kind of growing beyond just a single page and kind of turning into almost a sub-site on your website?
I'm telling you right now, that, like I say, that's number one. I might add like a message board or something on that one because there are so many opinions on what really happened.
Now, that is a good idea because you could get quite a bit of chat going on.
Oh, right, because right now everybody's emailing me, asking me, and I'm the last person asked. I have no idea what went on.
Do you love your job? I mean, do you love this avocation, I should call it?
Yeah, definitely not a job. It's a total hobby. So, yeah, I enjoy it. There's nothing I like better than, especially if I can get a movie, you know, a little bit before it comes out. Right now I've got Finding Nemo, and I would just put up the Italian Job. Those won't come out for another week.
You actually have the spoiler before the movie's out.
Every now and then I get it. Some, you know, the movies are screened, you know, well ahead of time. So mm-hmm. there's people out there that see the movies and send them in.
Yeah, I think your spoiler for The Matrix was up actually within, what, a day or so of it releasing, I think.
Right. You know, the funny thing is with The Matrix, I got a spoiler about 4 or 5 months ago.
Oh.
Some guy said he was a studio insider, and I read it, and I really debated whether to put it up or not. I wasn't sure if it was accurate or not. And sure enough, it was. I didn't put it up, but once the movie came out, I reread that old spoiler, and yeah, it was dead on. A lot of mine are submitted by same people.
You know,
I've gained the trust of quite a few of the submitters.
Now, are these just average Joes?
Yeah, yes, they are. Yeah, yep.
Not necessarily studio insiders.
No. It's just mostly people who have gone to a sneak preview, and or just, you know, this weekend. I don't have any of this weekend's movies spoiled, but I'm sure in the next few days, people will start submitting them.
And now I'm just going to pick your brain for your favorites or ones that stick in your head. Do you have a favorite spoiler up there from the past?
The one that still gets all the hits is American Beauty. I think 2 years ago when we talked, that was still mentioned. And that was one of my simplest spoilers, like two paragraphs long, but that's still right up on top of.
What is maybe the oddest, or maybe the sleeper spoiler of the site, or something odd that kind of surprised you, even though we all know American Beauty was very popular? But maybe some arthouse film or something like that.
The Rules of Attraction. That's a movie that came and went real fast, but that is still right up there on probably my top 20.
Well, that's a good point. If it came and went fast, people maybe didn't even get a chance
that's
to see
exactly
it.
That's exactly. Or if it's now coming out on video. But I don't know. Hey, that's one that I scratched my head on that one. Why is that one always at the top of my list?
Do you see kind of a resurgence of popularity with some of the movie spoilers as they are released on DVD?
Definitely, yeah. Another one that's real popular is Titus. And again, that one is like two paragraphs long. That, when I first started the site, I tried to sum it up real quick. Yeah, now they're 3,000 or 4,000 words.
What are the top five spoilers that are on your site that people are accessing? I would imagine primarily through search engines, right?
Well, I think they just get my main site through the search engine and then get it from there. And on my site, it's just whatever is current in the movie. So I just reworked my site a little bit, my main page, so I have the top 10 listed. And those are always the ones that get all the hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as it leaves the top 10, it goes into my archive. And right now, I have about 450 titles in the archive.
Quite a lot of work.
Yeah, that's quite a bit.
How many years have you been?
A little over 3 years.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's not too bad. You know, I probably spend 5 hours a week on it, so it's not too much.
When you started the site, you were actually writing all the spoilers.
Right. When I started, I wrote 100% of them. I was in the movie business, and so I had access to all the movies. Oftentimes, you always screen the movie the night before it opens, and I'd go home that Thursday night and type up the spoiler Friday morning. There'd be the spoiler.
Now, the intrigue is, at the time, you couldn't really identify yourself.
That's right.
And did the secret ever get out? I mean, I'm sure that if you were if people who were your superiors in the movie business knew.
They all know now, and they just laughed at it. Because, you know, it's just people talking about movies, so, you know, it's not hurting business.
Oh, I'm sure people will go see the movie because they're intrigued.
Right, that's why sometimes they give away so much in the previews now anyway.
Yeah.
Like there's some spoilers I could have written just by watching the preview.
So what plans do you have for the moviespoiler.com moving forward?
You know, I'm not sure. Right now it is much more, in fact, it's about 95% of the spoilers are submitted by the readers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get out of all the writing, and since I left the theater business, it's really hard to go see all the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So
expensive, too.
Right,
yeah.
Right. In fact, you know, about 3 or 4 months ago, I even thought about giving it up because it was so hard to stay current. There were so many movies coming out, and I just wasn't seeing them. And I didn't update for about a month, and boy, you would not believe all the email I was getting. You know, when are you going to update? When are you going to update? And the fact is, I just hadn't seen a movie. And finally, I changed my page just a few weeks ago. Listening to the top 10 and anything I didn't have, I just say, hey, spoiler needed. And next thing you know, I start getting spoiler submissions like crazy. Who would have thought all I had to do was ask?
Well, that's better than them getting mad at you for doing a free service. You know, it's great.
Right.
Get everybody involved, a cooperative.
Right. So the whole site now, it's all because of the people that submit. Without them, the site wouldn't be around.
And I do like that you've added, you know, the movie trailers are also available right there as a streaming video.
Right.
So you can get sort of the full audio and visual and textual content.
Right. You know, it's a real simple site. If you look at the inner workings of it and look at the source codes and all that, it's a very simple site.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are exactly the kind of sites that do well in like Google and the search engines too.
Right.
So that's probably why you're doing so well with it too. Now, I can see that your site developing into a kind of a movie community to a certain extent, people submitting what their opinions are of what's happening with the film. I can see it turning into something more than probably what you have now. Do you see it moving in that direction?
Yeah, I think so. I'll probably start a mailing list so I can keep people better informed about what's happening with the movie spoiler and what's been updated.
Well, it'd be nice if you could turn this into a little bit of an ROI for yourself. You know, it'd be nice to get a little revenue source coming toward Dan.
I think so, yeah. You know, because now it's actually starting to cost me money. It's so many hits on my pages. Some of them are so large that, you know, now I'm starting to get some bandwidth costs that I hadn't had before.
Well, support your movie spoiler, and maybe you should put up a little PayPal donation.
Yeah.
No, you're just still an altruistic guy, Dan.
That's true.
Free is a good thing, right?
That's right.
That's nice.
And I there's a little bit of income with the Amazon ads. In fact, they pay for what it costs me now. I'm not losing any money right now.
Good.
But I'm not making any either. But the Amazon ads, they're kind of nice. Just like every video you see up there, that's just a buy through Amazon.
That's good. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for calling me. We'll talk to you again.
I appreciate the update, and good success with the movie spoiler.
Thank you.
This is Web.Guys Radio, and that's it for this week. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you back listening with us next week.
See you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web.Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web.Guys time, same Web.Guys channel. We'll